All right, if you'd please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at some familiar verses today. Last week we looked at Paul's God-given ability to be able to endure whatever was necessary. In verse 12 it says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now let me pause for a moment and say that most of the time when we cite that verse, and I dare say that probably the majority of the people in this room have that memorized, that we have a tendency to misapply that. Now granted, I can do all things. And so I suppose you can say, well, I can do this, and I can anything within that God would have me to do, I can do, and that's true, and that's right. And I think you can apply that verse to that, but the context is dealing with hardship, is dealing with difficulty, to be able to do what is not normally humanly possible, and that is to conduct myself as if my circumstances made no difference, had no bearing on what I am to do and be and how I am to operate. Now, we as believers, that ought to be the case. And so he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so if you look at your outline, I have this all in caps. I can. So often you hear, I can't do this. Well, that's a step in the right direction, because the fact of the matter is that in your own strength, in your own ability, you can't. Your ability to do what you're supposed to do is dependent on the power of God. So I can do all things because God says so. I can take God at His word. We like to cite God's promises when they're a source of comfort. We like to cite God's promises regarding things that make us feel good, of Him meeting a need or even a want. But when God makes a promise that, hey, when things are going really bad, you can deal with this. Oh, I don't like that. I would much prefer to have God change my circumstances than give me the grace to deal with them. I mean, that's how we operate. That's how we think. I just want relief. I don't want endurance. I want relief. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with praying for healing and so on, but we hear what we want. I've got this medical problem. I've got this. I really want this to go away. I want to be better. I want the problem that I'm dealing with right now to vanish. I want God to heal. I want God to take it away. I want God to meet this need. I want relief. And what Paul is alluding to here is sometimes you don't get relief. Sometimes the problem endures. Sometimes the thing is there. Sometimes it's permanent. Sometimes it's going to get worse. Oh, don't tell me this. That isn't why I'm here. I wanted to feel better, and now you're making me feel even worse. But God says I can do all things. I can endure hardship and difficulty. Now, by the way, let me mention this, that it is, and some of you know this to be the case from experience, it is sometimes easier to endure hardship than it is to endure good things. Especially in a spiritual sense. Because when we're dealing with hardship, we have a tendency to do one of two things. Either complain a lot, or give it to God. Now, I strongly recommend the second one. That's what he's alluding to here. Strongly recommend the second one. We can give it to God. Now, when we're going through these difficulties, and sometimes they're physical, sometimes they're circumstantial, relational, job, economic, can be any number of things. As we're going through these things, especially if they are beyond our personal coping, we rely on the Lord. If we're walking with God, we rely on the Lord. And we find that that is a natural response, and that's a proper response, a biblical response. I know both how to be abased. I know how to be hungry. And so when we're under those trying circumstances, we rely on the Lord. When I have, what's the other one there? He says, when I'm abounding and I am full. I ignore God. And the Bible talks about this a number of times. It talks about that in the Old Testament law, that when you are in the land, and basically when you are fat and happy and satisfied, and you forget the Lord. And so I think very often we go through trials and difficulties, and that's God tapping on your shoulder saying, hey, remember me? Because when everything is going wonderfully, we ignore God. If you look at a history of revival, not always, but very often, it comes when things are bad. When was the last era? When was the last era in the United States? Not necessarily a big awakening or anything, but when was the last era in the United States where we saw a huge influx of people getting saved and the churches were full and a bunch of churches got started? When was the last time that that happened? In the 70s. That grand and glorious decade. Oh, it was wretched. And a lot of you are old enough to remember the 70s. That, yes, that was good times. Economically, it stunk. Culturally, it was wretched and awful. Politically, it was a disaster. Pardon me for those of you who thought it was good. And yet God did a great and wonderful thing. We had, in that era, a bunch of people get saved. A pile of churches got started. A lot of our Bible preaching, a lot of our Bible believing churches today were built in that decade. Not built just in the construction of buildings, but people being saved and discipled and taught, and it was in that decade, when nothing else good seemed to be happening, that God did a work of grace. And one of the nice things about that, this is before we got too, before Christians got too politically minded. And by the way, I encourage voting and vote your conscience and so on, but I'm not diminishing that. But don't get distracted by politics. God gave us the job. What's the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and teach. That first one is make disciples. The word there is teach is two different words in the original language. First one, make disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching, discipling. And if you do that, that's our job. And God empowers us, lo, I will be with you. So God empowers us to do and be that, and that's our task, that's our commission, and it is not dependent on our circumstances. So when we are, what's going back to verse 12 again? When we are abased and when we are hungry, when things are bad, we rely on the Lord, and frankly, we do what we're supposed to do because we are being what we're supposed to be because we are cleaving to the Lord. And when things go our way and everything is going wonderful and the politics suit us and the economy is going well and we're fat and happy, we forget. And our churches did a nosedive in the 80s and 90s. The number of guys training for the ministry was cut by two-thirds or more. And praying that God would send an awakening. Things are bad. And yet, this is an interesting era that we're living in. Things are bad, and yet we are not seeing, at least haven't seen it so far, a work of God in our churches even. Instead, our churches are accommodating this wretched, horrible, corrupt culture that we live in. As if the world wants more of this. They claim to. And the church says, oh, we gotta get in on this. Don't do that! We don't need to reinvent ourselves. God told us what we are to be. And he's the one we need to please. So I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can endure hardship. I can buck the trend. I can not accommodate myself to the culture at large. I can be what God would have me to be. I continue to be a witness even if I am persecuted and maligned and so forth, as has been the case throughout most of church history. Lo and behold, we're surprised that we're finally beginning to endure what the rest of the world's been going through for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. I can do it. Why can you? Because God gives us the power, the enablement to do it. Sometimes we go through the abasement, sometimes we go through the hunger. But it's a fascinating thing. Paul never starved to death. He will say in 2 Corinthians that he'd spend, how many days was it? Two days three times suffered shipwreck. A day and a night as he spent in the deep. I've been hanging on to wreckage, floating in the ocean. Probably. Not a really good swimmer. You know, they didn't have pools like they have them today. You know, growing up Jewish kid in southern Turkey, just not a lot of opportunities. And yet, Paul was eventually martyred, executed, when he was probably in his 60s. And you look at all the hardship and the difficulty, how did he survive? Well, it's because God was not through with him. We have to recognize the fact that we have a sovereign God who loves us, cares for us, and he will equip us and supply us with all that we need to keep doing what he wants us to do, as long as he wants us to do it. And if he doesn't want us to do it, then he'll change the circumstances, but we're in his hands. God is never caught by surprise. God is never thwarted. The devil doesn't go, ha, I got him this time. It doesn't work that way. And so the resources are always there to do and be what you are supposed to do and be. The power is always there to do and be what you are supposed to do and be. Provided, now, who causes the problems there on the power level? Yeah, I do. Outsiders can make my life miserable. But as far as my power to be and do what I'm supposed to do and be, God gives that. And if I am to be, let's go back. Let's go back to Numbers, the book of Numbers. Slightly different scenario, but let's give you the setup here. All right? Balaam. Wicked prophet Balaam, whose prophecies are given by God and are a bunch of great prophetic truth there. But the man himself was a disreputable wretch. Alright, so we have Balaam. And Balaam gives these prophecies and God won't let him curse Israel. But instead he gives some advice to the Moabites and the Midianites. Okay, I can't curse Israel for you. But I can, there's a way we can probably get God to turn his back on Israel. Well, how do you do that? You get them to sin. And so invite them to your pagan feasts. Get them to abandon their God and turn to idols, and God will abandon them. God will curse them. And that's exactly what they did. And it worked to some degree. So who is going to turn off the power that God has in me? I do by sinning. I do by turning my back on God. I do by holding God's word in contempt. Because God says, here's the power. You are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. If you are God's child, you are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And being filled with the Spirit is not how much Spirit you've got, but rather how much of you the Spirit has access to. And when you tell God no, you're just turning down the power. And so when I am abased and hungry, God supplies the power to do and be what I'm supposed to do and be, regardless of the circumstances. God pays for what he orders. Hudson Taylor, who started the China Inland Missionary 150 years ago or so. And it was a faith-based mission. This is not a denominational mission. This is a faith-based mission. And he said, depend on it. God's work, done God's way. Don't forget that caveat. We'll never lack God's supplies, and that's true. If God has called it into being, he will supply. Grace Baptist Church has existed for 22 years, which is mind-boggling. What it was like at the beginning. I mean, where's the money going to come from? How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to do this? And here we are. God has continued to supply. And that's true for any ministry and that God would have be. So how is that possible? I can do all things. What's the next phrase there? Through Christ. See, that's the condition. It isn't me. It's through Christ. Number one, I have to know Christ as my Savior. I have to have forgiveness of sins. With that, I have been adopted. I am now God's child. I am now indwelt and empowered, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And with all those things that come with salvation, that's just a little bit of it, but with all the things that come with salvation, I can now, through Christ, do and be what I'm supposed to do and be. It isn't me. It's Christ in me. Christians can do what other people can't. Now, a lot of folks, a lot of discipline, a lot of drive, a lot of initiative, but you can't live a holy life based on your own initiative. You cannot consistently do and be what you're supposed to do and be, resting in your own strength. It's not possible. You're not equipped to do it. But I can through Christ. I used to tell that my kids hated hearing this if they got in trouble. Okay, you guys, you profess to be Christians, and you can do, by the power of God, anything you're supposed to do. I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. So don't say, I can't, because you can't, provided you're God's child and resting in his strength and in his power. And when we're in disobedience, we don't like to hear that because we're failing. Because we're pursuing a course that is contrary to what God has. But if we are pursuing a course that God would have for us, then this is a great comfort. A Christian in sin finds himself powerless. A Christian, regardless of his circumstances, who is yielded and dependent on God, finds that he has the power necessary to do and be whatever he's supposed to do and be. So I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So, let's flip this over. Okay, we said, I can! Realistically, actually, in practice, most people say I can't. I can't. Now, if I am a Christian, if I have trusted Christ, if I can't, what are the reasons why I can't? If it's not panning out, well, God says I can, but I'm finding that I can't. Okay, I have a list of some things here. Number one, you don't really know Christ as Savior. Churches, Bible preaching, teaching churches are filled with people that do not know Christ as their Savior. When revival actually happens, historically, when revival actually happens, it isn't hundreds and thousands of people out in the community getting saved. That isn't where it starts. That's eventually what happens. What happens? Where does it start? It starts in the church. Let me change that. In the local church. Because people who have been under the sound of the word perhaps all their lives, all of a sudden God flips the switch, the lights come on, and they end up getting saved. I mean, some of these people may have been witnessing, they may be Sunday school teachers, they may be the pastor. And they come to know Christ as Savior. They get saved. And God trans, and these are people who know it. It's a fascinating thing. If you read this, about the revivals that happened, the first and second great awakenings, people who knew the gospel backwards and forwards, they heard faithful preachers who were preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God faithfully, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, in an era when 65 or 70% of the people went to church. And then all of a sudden, over a period of several Sundays, a bunch of people got saved. And it wasn't new people coming in, it was the people who had been sitting there. And they get excited about the things of God, and because they've been sitting there under the, they know what they're supposed to do after they get saved, because they were taught all the basics along the way, even when they were lost. And they get busy doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that results in the awakening and the effect of, on the people outside. So number one, the reason I can't is because I'm actually lost. I don't know Christ. I think I do. I'm living a lie. I'm living a delusion. And I mentioned over years that we have had two members of Grace Baptist Church get saved. I have a friend who the chairman of the, and this is a large church out east, the chairman of the deacons for years was actually lost. And he knew it, and he was afraid to admit it. And then he finally got saved. Oh, what a relief. What an amazing thing. And he found that after he got saved, he could. I can. So the reason I can't is because I'm actually lost. Number two, I can't because I'm in sin. Yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Yes, I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm not empowered because I'm in sin. Why am I in sin? Well, I'm afraid. Well, why are you afraid? You would think that God would give us perfect peace. That's true. But I'm afraid to let God have control of my life. Lots of people, we're talking about decisions made at camp. That's one of the great hurdles. I will finally, after great reservation, after great fear and trepidation, I will finally let God have me. Because I was always afraid that if I let God have me, He's going to mess it up. Yes, the God who spoke everything into existence and said it is very good is going to mess up your life. Well, it's only messing it up from your perspective because he's going to do some things in your life that you right now in your sin are unwilling to let God have. Once you let God have it, generally speaking, I'm going to tell you, you don't miss it. Unbelief. I don't take God at His word. And by doing these things, I end up quenching the Spirit of God. I don't have the power because I'm in sin. I'm not taking God at His word. I lack faith in God's promise. And if I lack faith in God's promise, yeah, God says this, but, the yeah buts. When I have the yeah buts, I don't want to admit this. I don't want to say it this way. But if I don't believe what God says, if I don't believe that God will or can, and yet God says He will and He can, then I am calling God a liar. Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, but that's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. So I can do all things through Christ. Good or bad, as far as hardship and difficulty, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, whether I'm going through trial and difficulty, whether I'm going through a period of abundance and everything is wonderful, I can, by the grace of God, do and be what I'm supposed to do and be. Paul was not bound by his circumstances as far as his walk with God, as far as his power and so on. He was not bound by his circumstances, and neither should you or me. All right, we're going to close in prayer. Save your notes. We'll do 14 next time. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the promise. Father, may we walk faithfully with You. May we not tell You no. Father, may we trust You. Father, we're trusting You for eternity. Father, may we trust You for today. Father, may we be tools in Your hands to accomplish the task You'd called us to do. And Father, may we be faithful, empowered by the Spirit to do and be. Father, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.